You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to talk about back-to-back wins from your Texas Rangers. Very exciting comeback wins, well, in one of the cases, and what might be Kyle Gibson's best or worst start, not really sure yet. Haven't quite got there. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Locked On Prospects, the Locked On Prospect podcast. Good Lord. It's hosted by Aram Layton, prospect guru. Genius dude, knows all about the prospects. Go listen to Aram's podcast. Talks about all kinds of great stuff. So go listen to him there. But let's talk about the Rangers winning ways. On Tuesday was their comeback win. They waited very late. They always score early and late, this team. Like, if they're not scoring in the middle innings at all, it's either the first and second inning or the eighth and ninth inning. Like, it feels like every single one of their runs. And this game, it all did come. And there was one run in the first inning, and two scored in the ninth, send it to extras, and then three scored in the 10th inning. This team is fascinating. They're so much fun. They're weird, and I love that. I don't know what I'm watching, but that's okay. That's okay. I don't need to know what I'm watching to know that I'm watching fun baseball, and that is exciting enough. So we had a big performance from, again, Adolis Garcia on the road. This guy cannot stop hitting late homers, clutch homers, and homers on the road. All seven of his home runs this year have been on the road, which leads the American League in road homers. Just ahead of Byron Buxton, I believe Nelson Cruz as well. That record was six. Now he has seven. I don't want to say record, but just lead, I should say, is a better word for it. And I want to give some shout-outs to the youngins. Well, not necessarily youngins, but rookies. Andy Ibañez made his major league debut on Tuesday after being called up after Brock Holt went to the IL. Andy Ibañez is 28 years old. He is a Cuban-born player, and, you know, he's been a guy who's always been bat first. The defensive position's always been, I don't know, let's hope he can hit well enough to make him stay up in the big leagues. And, you know, I was never really that high on him. I thought, sure, he's fine. He's fine. That's really all I thought of him. I've seen him a lot in Frisco. But, you know, anybody getting to make their major league debut, that's a big deal. And I'm very excited for him getting to make his major league debut. And to do it your first at bat as a pinch hitter, that's tough. That's tough to do. And he got a single in his first at bat in the major league level. So congratulations to him. That is exciting. That is a big deal. He also got his first RBI the next day with a sac fly he just missed getting all of for his first major league home run, but still got the run home, and that is great for him. Now, the other youngin, definitely not youngin, but rookie, Hyunjun Young, who made his first major league start on Wednesday. Congratulations to him. That is exciting at 33 years old, making your first MLB start. That is a big deal. And he wasn't just given this for charity. He earned it. He did very, very well in his first two relief appearances, both going at least four innings, which is hard to do, and both in a part of the game where the Rangers really, really need someone to just come in and stop the bleeding, and he did exactly that. He was excellent in his first time through the order. He had seven strikeouts in his first time through the order, finished the day with 3 1/3 innings pitched, eight strikeouts total, one home run, which I believe, if I am not, yeah, it was a massive shot from Mitch Garver in the second inning. He only lasted 3 1/3 innings, and that Mitch Garver spot was the only blemish on his radar from the first time through the order. But, you know, sometimes you'll get ambushed by a guy and he'll just get all of one, and that's okay because it was a solo shot. There were no runners on base. But then the second time through the order, he really started to struggle. He allowed a double to Byron Buxton, which, you know, there's no shame in that. He also walked a guy and gave up a couple of more hits and was pulled from the game. And John King was left in a situation where he really needed some of his ground ball magic. John King has been excellent for the Rangers this year. Just downright excellent. Has a 1.13 ERA. Came in and shut the door today, or in yesterday's game, I should say. He pitched 2 2/3 innings, struck out three, and allowed two hits. There's one thing that that really bothered me about his appearance. It's not actually anything from him. It's actually from the broadcast, and they do this on every pitcher out of the bullpen. And it drives me insane when they have this list of their stats, and instead of innings pitched, which is actually the barometer that you should say, like, all right, how many strikeouts? Okay, he has 10 strikeouts in 12 games. I'm like, well, how many innings did he pitch? Did he pitch like a third of an inning in most of these games? Because if he did, then like that's really impressive. But if he pitched like two innings or averaged like an inning and a third, like that's not as impressive. Like, give me the innings. They never give you the innings. They only just give you the games pitch. And like that drives me insane. It has nothing to do with John King, but it bothered me because I saw it on his start. So, but he was excellent. 2 2/3 inning this one, 3 strikeouts, no walks, no earned runs. Did allow a couple of hits later on, but he was able to come in, shut the door, and keep the Rangers in this game to where they didn't allow any runs besides that home run. That was the only run that the Rangers allowed in this game. The Rangers bullpen was nails. Brett Martin came in, got a hold. Joely Rodriguez came in for an inning and did well. And Ian Kennedy comes in, did allow a walk, but struck out 3. The dude is just nasty. He has 9 saves, which I believe is the lead in the American League, which is kind of insane because the Rangers aren't necessarily a very good team. They are 15-17 now. So with a win, they would be within half a game of being over 500. And, you know, this division continues to be much better than I thought it was. I believe the Rangers are still in last place in it while I check. But the Astros are surging. Nope, they are in fourth place. They have passed the Angels, who are now 13-16. The Rangers are half a game ahead of them and 1 game behind the Astros, who are at 500. So the Rangers have 3 teams in the division at 500 or better. That is not best in the American League. Actually, both of the other divisions in the AL have 3 teams above 500, at least. The AL East actually has 4 teams above 500, and Baltimore at 15-16 is in last place in their division, and still only 3 games out of Boston at the top of the division. Now, the NL Central, or the AL Central, I should say, has been quite trash. Minnesota's record continues to be just abysmal. They are at 11-18 now, with Detroit at the major league worst, 9-22. So yeah, that AL Central has been pretty rough. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, talk a little bit more about who has been powering this Rangers offense, a little bit more about what we've seen from this bullpen, and some other stuff going on. But first, this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. What is your Built Bar favorite flavor? It is the new and improved an even deliciouser protein bar that is just literally the best one that you'll ever eat. It's not even close. For me, my favorite flavor is peanut butter brownie. It's just so good. There is not a bad flavor. It might be also salted caramel. Like, it's tough to pick a favorite flavor when all of them are so daggum delicious. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're also healthy too. You know, most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Order today, you can get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever flavor you like. They're all kinds of great stuff. Before Mother's Day, you don't know what to get your mom? You know, just go ahead, and I know that most moms love Built Bars. They're delicious. Send her a box, and you are sure to be her favorite, at least, you know, for a little while, until you get her the next box of Built Bars. So our listeners can go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collective of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters each have produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life, and they're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. If you're in the hunt for a perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. So I feel like it's time to talk about Willie Calhoun. in a good way. This is a very exciting thing for Willie. He has 3 home runs so far in 15 games this season. I don't want to talk about him just yet. I didn't want to put too much pressure on him. You know, I know that Willie is definitely an avid listener of the podcast, as is everybody in the Rangers organization. I definitely think that highly of myself. No. But I just want to give Willie a couple of games to see, all right, if it's just like a couple of like 5 good games or whatever. Now at 15, I feel like, all right, it's time to talk about him and how great he has been so far for the Rangers. Right now, he's hitting .316, on base of .381. He has 5 walks to 9 strikeouts. I have loved what I've seen from him so far this season. He's got 63 plate appearances under his belt and 6 RBI so far to show for it. He's been a much more patient hitter. The thing about Willie coming up, they were shifting a lot on him the last couple of years, and that wasn't – he didn't love that, because – he was a guy who came up as a guy who was going to be just a pure hitter. He knew how to hit. He hit for power. He was a guy who controlled all fields, and that was what made him so successful as a prospect. And now that he has added a little bit to his defensive value, he is not just a straight up minus in the field. I think he's about average now, and that is very good for a guy who profiles to have a very, very, very nasty bat. And so teams have not been switching on him as much. He's also been hitting pretty well against lefties. He had his first home run of the season off of a lefty the other night. And he just continues to prove why the Rangers should stick with him. And, you know, it very easily could have gone off the rails for Willie Calhoun. A lot of things have not gone well for him the last few years. Injuries have derailed him the last couple of years. I mean, the hamstring injuries in 2019, when he was really finally just given the chance to be an everyday player, that was tough. And then 2020 is like, all right, it's yours. The position is yours. You're there. We trust you, and you've earned it, and you're not going to let us down. Then he gets hit in the face with the baseball, and thankfully he's still ready. We thought he'd be ready for opening day, and then hamstring injuries derailed last season even more. And when he came back, he just was not the same version of himself. But this year comes into the season, Rangers go and get a left fielder. What? They also get a DH. What? They also get a guy to play first base that might also be a DH in Nate Lowe. Gosh, I can't imagine what it was like to see all that and be like, I thought you guys believed in me. Just like 2 years ago, you know, like, hey, this is your position. We're going to let you play left field. This is where you're going to be. So yeah, go nuts. And then all these things happen to him. And I can't imagine what it'd be like to see David Dahl. But David Dahl has been struggling. He has been straight up struggling. It's not even struggling to stay healthy. He has just been straight up struggling. So Willie Calhoun didn't care. And his splits against righties and lefties have been right about equal. And that was one of the things I loved about him in the minor leagues, is that he wasn't a guy who just mashed righties because he's lefty. He also hit lefties pretty well. So this is what his splits look like so far. In 46 plate appearances against righties, he is hitting .317, on base .391, slugging .488. 2 of his 3 home runs have come off of them. All of his walks have come off of them as well. 5 walks to 8 strikeouts in those 46 plate appearances. And against lefties, he's done really, really well too, in a very limited sample size of just 17 plate appearances. But he has 1 of his home runs, only 1 strikeout in those 17 plate appearances. That's nice to see. No walks, but that's fine. He's hitting .313, on base of .353, slugging exactly .500. You love to see that. You absolutely love to see that. But against lefty starters in a very much smaller sample size, he has 19 plate appearances. He is hitting .471, on base of .526, and slugging 1,059. That is a 1585 OPS for those of you doing math at home. If you're doing math at home, why are you doing that? Unless you love math, then I'm not here to shame you for loving math. But Willie Calhoun has been excellent so far this season. I have really loved what I've seen from him, and just him getting his opportunity and just him staying healthy. Like, that's all I want. I'm like, I want Willie Calhoun to be healthy. I want him to do well, and I want him to get a bunch of plate appearances. He has made the case that he deserves a few starts in left field over David Dahl. David Dahl has not been doing well at all this season. That's okay. I think he will get some time. He will grow into it. But right now, through 103 plate appearances, he only has 2 home runs, 4 doubles. He's hitting exactly 200, on base of 235, slugging just 305. That is not really what you love to see. 28 strikeouts, so about just a little under 30% of the strikeout rate, which isn't as much of a struggle as I thought, given how poorly he's done. Maybe he's been getting a little bit of bad luck with batted balls. Only 4 walks in those 103 plate appearances. That is something that I definitely would like to see him change, because right now Willie has 5 walks in 63 plate appearances. So definitely could be getting a little bit more love there. Adolis Garcia, with this road trip, of course, his OPS is back up. He's hitting 259 right now, on base of 312, and slugging 541. You know, he has 6 walks right now in 93 plate appearances. I still don't know how long it's going to take for him to surpass Leody Taveras on the baseball reference page as the primary center fielder of the Rangers. Right now, Adolis has played 22 games this season. Leody played only 15. And, you know, I think it's about time to put him there, just for my own goodness. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Kyle Gibson's best worst start of the season, the bullpen, and what I've seen from this pitching staff. Right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and the contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, I said this might be the best start, or it might be the worst start of Kyle Gibson's career, season, not career, but his return to Minnesota was one that was, I'm sure, emotional for him on Tuesday. That was the one the Rangers were able to win. He did give up 3 runs, which is the most he's given up in a start since that first one. In case you didn't remember, that first one did not go very well at all, but he hadn't been bitten by the long ball yet this season until this game. But you know, the first one he got bit by, you know, there is no shame in giving up a home run to Byron Buxton. It was in the first inning, a 2-run shot, and it was a pretty big one. But Byron Buxton, that was his 9th home run of the season, right up there among the major league leaders. Byron Buxton has been absolutely phenomenal this season. His batting average in this series has dropped a little bit below the 400 mark. So, you know, might as well be trash. Just go ahead and cut him, Twins. No, but he has been straight up excellent for the Twins this season. And if that's your first home run that you give up is to that guy on that kind of a streak, that's fine. But he also gave up another home run to Williams Astudillo, the resident big boy of the big boy fans of baseball boys. He is a great hitter, so not a whole lot of shame. That was only his 3rd home run this season, so he hasn't quite been as good. But Kyle Gibson was able to work back through that. He only gave up 3 hits in this one. 2 of those were home runs. He did walk a pair, but he went 8 innings. That is something you don't see very much. And he did so efficiently. He threw 107 pitches in this one and struck out 8. The strikeout stuff was there. He looked a little shaky at the beginning, but he really, really found his legs as this one progressed. He allowed the home run in the first inning. Then he allowed the 2nd home run in the 5th inning. But other than that, the Rangers were able to pull it out. I'm sure he knew that this Rangers team was going to rally for him. And they did. They really, really did. Jolie Rodriguez came in the 9th inning and pitched a shutout inning, perfect inning, couple of strikeouts. He has been just rock solid since getting rocked in his first outing. Ian Kennedy, again, got the save. I should say, again, about the 2nd save that he got on Wednesday, but I'm recording this, Wednesday. I'm recording this on Thursday, so my days are all mixed up. Had a busy day yesterday. I would have gotten you one in the afternoon or the late evening, but I had work and all kinds of other life things to worry about. So I'll just get you 2 episodes today and we will move on from there. But the bullpen has been very good so far for the Rangers this season. starring Ian Kennedy, who has a 1.93 ERA in 14 games. 13 of those were games that he finished, 14 innings, I should say. I just made the quip about games versus innings, but averaging an inning per outing. He has 20 strikeouts. 20 strikeouts in 14 innings. That is excellent. And only one walk. This guy is staying in the plate. Has been bit a little bit by the home run. Two home runs, I believe, have accounted for all three of the earned runs that he has given up this year. That's not bad. Don't love the two home runs in 14 innings, but, you know, small sample size, he will get there eventually. John King has been, I think, this Rangers' second best reliever. Has a 1.13 ERA in 11 games, 16 innings. So he has been a guy who's been able to go multiple innings. The strikeouts aren't quite as great as I would like them to be, but that's fine when you're getting as many ground balls as he has. 11 strikeouts in 16 innings, which is 6.2 strikeouts per nine. That's not great. I like to have more strikeouts in my relievers, but, you know, strikeouts aren't everything. If you're getting outs, then that is what matters. Some of the other guys have been knocked around a little bit, so their ERAs are messy, and that can definitely happen. And when you've only started or pitched in 9 or 11 games, which is what's happened with Taylor Hearn, Brett DeGuss, and Josh Sabores. Taylor Hearn right now is sporting a 6.09 ERA in 9 games, but he's also pitched 13 and a third innings, struck out 19, and walked 10. He's also been bitten pretty badly by the home run, 4 home runs in those 13 and a third innings. But the strikeouts are really, really good. If he can just stop walking people and stop leaving meatballs on the plate, I think that would really, really help him. The Rangers also stretching him out quite a bit. I mean, he's only pitched a little bit over an inning and a third, I believe, per start. I'm not really doing the math, but per outing, I should say, 9 games, 13 and a third innings. But he's always throwing quite a bit of pitches. I think if he threw fewer pitches and was able to just go out there for a little bit fewer batters, I think that might help him a little bit. But the good thing is, even when he's throwing his 35th or 40th pitch of an outing, he's still way up there with the gas and the velocity. So that's exciting to see. Brett DeGuss has pitched in 9 games, 12 innings, has a 6.75 ERA. Hasn't been bitten as badly by the long ball, but the walks are not great. 6 walks in 12 innings is not what you're looking for. 10 strikeouts in 12 innings, also not what you're looking for if you're giving up that many hits, which he has given up 9 hits, 9 earned runs in that time. So would love to see him be a little bit better. Josh Sports in his last couple outings, I really love what I've seen. 11 games, 11 and two thirds innings, has struck out 11. And his stuff has been pretty nasty as of late. His fielding independent pitching likes him better than the ERA. By the way, fielding independent pitching is just measuring what the pitchers themselves can get. So basically it just takes into account strikeouts, walks, and home runs. So just basically completely discounting the fielders, any influence they might have on that. It's a 3.86 ERA, but a fielding independent pitching of 2.25. So that means that he is controlling what he can control pretty well. No home runs yet for him given up, and 4 walks in 11 and two thirds innings, nearly 12. So that's been pretty solid for him. Brett Martin has been much better as of late. Jolie Rodriguez right now has a 2.35 ERA, which is among their tops in the Rangers bullpen. A lot of these guys have been beaten pretty badly by some bad outings. And I don't know why Jolie Rodriguez isn't in the top, I don't know, 5, I guess this is, of relievers that they put in Baseball Reference in the top. But I really think that he should be up there because he has been absolutely throwing gas. And I have loved what I've seen from him. I would love to see him continue. He's only pitched in 8 games so far this season, 7 and two thirds innings, but has struck out 10, walked just 1, and has not allowed a home run. That is really, really nice from your one of your guys who's going to be the aces of your bullpen. Not that aces are in a bullpen, but you know what I'm trying to say. Fielding independent pitching, his FIP this year is 0.89. You absolutely Love to see that being not bitten by the home run ball. Really, really helps him out there. But I've loved what I've seen from this bullpen. The starting rotation is really starting to find its form. Kyle Gibson is still being excellent. Mike Foltynewicz, I think, is falling into line. And Jordan Lyles is definitely finding his footing. Dane Dunning, I should say, is finding his footing. Jordan Lyles, really would love to see a bounce back start from him against the Twins. I know this offense is pretty good. They might rough him up. He has not been hot as of late. But this game starts in just a few minutes. Will actually have been started since you are listening to this, but I'm recording this before the game, so we will get there when we get there. But that's going to do it for today's episode. I'll be back tonight with an episode with Grant talking about what we've seen so far from the farm system and the first couple of days of minor league baseball being back, some surprises we expect, and some guys you should just keep an eye on. So that'll do it for today's episode, and until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.